most of this year, but certainly at the moment, we are concentrating on John's Gospel. If you look carefully, you find John's Gospel is beautifully put together. It begins with what we call the prologue. It finishes with what we call the passion. And in between, there are these pivotal passages. Pivotal passages containing both the seven signs and the seven sayings. The seven signs and the seven sayings. The prologue, of course, begins so wonderfully. We read it every night here at the Watch Night service every year. In the beginning, those wonderful words, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, of course, standing for Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And so in the very first sentence of the prologue, the introduction, John is saying, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the same as God. And then, of course, at the end of the Gospel, it all is summed up in what we call the Passion. It begins at the Last Supper, the washing of the feet, the betrayal, the Garden of Gethsemane, the trial, culminating in the death of Jesus. Crucified for us, but as one of our children reminded us this morning, that was not the last word. So it begins with the prologue, it finishes with the passion, but in between, the pivotal passages containing the signs and the sayings. Do you remember the signs? We looked at them through the autumn. The turning of water to wine. The walking on the water. The feeding of the 5,000 and so on. Seven signs that Jesus offers. John records them for us. That we might believe who Jesus really is. And then as we're covering at the moment, the seven sayings. All of them beginning, I am. I am. Today, we're looking at the third of them, I am the gate. Following on from the last couple of weeks, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. Now this one here, I am the gate, I think is one of the less known of these sayings. And that's because it tends to get confused and sort of joined up with the next one that we'll look at next week, I am the good shepherd. But we need to separate them out because there's something distinct in each of the sayings. And if we kind of allow them to be merged together, then we will miss the important truth in today's saying, I am the gate. So, Jesus says, I am the gate. What comes into your mind when you think of gates? First and foremost for you, is a gate something that you close to keep people out? Or is it something that is flung open to welcome people in? Turn to your neighbours. What gates come to mind in your mind's eye? Maybe a gate that you go through every day of your life, or a gate that you remember from your childhood. And secondly, what are gates for? Keeping people out or letting people in? Turn to your neighbours. Let's discuss one with another. On Tuesday night at the leadership group, we discussed the same question, and three of us put forward as one of our favourite gates, although we disputed what colour it was. Some said blue, some said green. The gate past Edsel. Past Edsel, and it takes you on that lovely walk there. MDL's like that gate, several of you. It's a lovely gate to go through and into the most beautiful walk. Well, no doubt others of you had one or other gate in mind. Do you remember before we refurbished the church, we had heavy wrought iron gates that sat closed. When we left, we shut the gates. I wonder what that said. But now you'll see the gates at the front of our church are always open. I hope that says to people, that we are open for business and that you are welcome. Seems to me that some gates just say, keep out. You don't need to put a sign on them. A gate like that just says, keep out. This is our property and we don't want you wandering around in here. But there are other gates which, when they are opened, just seem to say, come on through. Come on through and explore and discover for yourself. I mean, I saw that picture and I want to go to where that is and walk through that gate into the field and just see what lies beyond the horizon. I think there's a beautiful view just over yonder. And to get there, I need to go through that open gate, which in my mind at least is saying, come on through. Come on through this gate. Jesus says, I am the gate. And he welcomes us. He welcomes us. Now, of course, also, if you read the whole of the passage, I think there is a sense in which the gate is keeping out all that would harm. And there's plenty for us to think about there. The home groups, as they meet throughout this week, need to consider that. Gates do have that use of keeping out. But more so, I think what Jesus is offering is an invitation to come in. To enter through me, he is saying. Come in through this gate. And he doesn't leave us in the dark as to what it is we are coming through to. There it is right there. He tells us, come in through the gate that is me, and you will be saved. I have come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. Now, I love the idea of going through that farm gate into that field just to see what it would be like through there. But if there is one gate through which I am certainly entering, it is Jesus, because there is salvation for the soul and life in all its fullness. Do you know, I seem to remember being taught this at one time, but if you, the nurses would be better, but if you hold somewhere about here, am I right? Somewhere about here, you can just about feel your pulse. Come on, do it. See if you've got a pulse. If not, put your hand up. We've got first aiders on hand. Can you feel your pulse? Or if you're no good at that, maybe put your hand here or search around and find a beating heart. Or maybe here. If you've found something, then you're alive. And let me say, that's a start. But it's not what Jesus meant when he said, come to me and you will have life in all its fullness. There is a world of difference between existing, which is just having a pulse, and living the life in all its fullness that Jesus calls us to. Anybody remember black and white television? Yeah. Anybody remember when you got your first color television? What a difference. If you've got a pulse, you've got black and white, but open up to color. Open up to life in all its fullness. which means to have meaning and purpose in life, which means to wake up in the morning and to praise God that you are alive, which means to know that there are children in Malawi who right now need us, and to want to respond, not to see it as a burden upon our own resources, but to say, thank God for the privilege that is mine to share what I have with the most needy in the world. That comes from the person who has life in all its fullness. Do you want to exist or do you want to live? Really live. Jesus says, come through me that you might live. Not this or that gate, come through me. I am the gate. Come through me that you might live and have life in all its fullness. I think Paul beautifully picks up the theme in his letter to the Ephesians. He talks about us being saved by grace. In other words, having come through the gate, who is Jesus. And why? So that we might go on and live the life that God has already prepared for us. When He was knitting us together in our mother's wombs, making us so wonderfully and so specially, He had plan and purpose for our lives. And it's a life of loving service worked out day by day by day. That, my friends, is life in all its fullness. It's the joy of life. It's the peace of life. And it's an open invitation extended to all of us. And yet here is the odd thing. Though this invitation is open to all, not everyone chooses to enter. Some turn away from the gate, who is Jesus. I wonder if this passage from Matthew helps us to see maybe why that is. Maybe it's because the gate, who is Jesus, is actually the narrow gate. There's an easier way to go about your existence on earth. It's a broad road, wide gate. The gate, who is Jesus, is a narrower one. The road that leads from it is narrower, but leads to life. Only a few find it. Maybe others prefer the easier option. Maybe others are too busy to see it. But what about you? I love too the words of C.S. Lewis as he describes these different gates. You see, these gates lead to roads, one a broad one, one a narrow one. Here C.S. Lewis describes that broad road through the wide gate. It's a gradual one. Gentle slopes, soft underfoot. No sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. You see, it seems to me that there are people in life who are not walking through the gate, who is Jesus, not entering by that gate, and who are just blithely and gently wandering down another road without knowing it, without being aware of it, wandering away from the gate, who is Jesus. It's not marked, and yet people find themselves there nonetheless. Here's why. You need to make a definite decision to enter by the gate, who is Jesus. If you will not decide to come in that gate, then by definition, you will find yourself wandering down this way, which is easy and you'll hardly notice it as you go. You must decide. We must decide to enter the gate, to accept the invitation that Jesus offers us. I am the gate. Enter, that you might know salvation, and that you might find life in all its fullness. Shall we pray?